four. That which we need in their hearts. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. One verse I want to deal with this morning in that chapter, verse 19. The Lord's been so good to us. The book of Philippians, of course, Paul and Timothy was the ones that wrote that under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Paul loved the church of Philippi. He loved all the churches, but God especially had put that love in his heart for that particular church. Remember the vision that he had come over to Macedonia and help us? And as soon as he got there, he was witnessing, people got saved. Next thing you knew, he was put in jail, beat. A lot of people would have given up. Not Paul. I'm amazed today how little it takes to get people discouraged and to get people to throw up their hands and say, it's just not worth it. Thank God Paul wasn't like that. We're taught much in the Word of God. Let's read one verse of Scripture and it'll mark our introduction to the message today. It'll be verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We quote that verse. We believe that verse. We remember that verse. And it's a wonderful verse. Did you know there's 18 verses ahead of that, though, in that particular chapter? Sometimes we take so lightly that we treat God anyway. Now, you're saved, you're redeemed, you're going to heaven. That's a done deal if you're saved. But then he says, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And he will. But there are conditions. And there is a prerequisite, many prerequisites. I'm afraid we live in a society today that thinks we can do little and do what we want to, and God just going to take care of everything. We got that in our society, do we not? There's a congresswoman now that's getting a growing a bunch of people that says, you know, the government's just going to take care of your need if you're willing to work, or if you're not willing to work, we'll take care of you. And of course, we're going to across that line, they're going to do away with automobiles and fossil fuel and airplanes and all that. Somebody told me, and I'm not a race car fan, but I heard that the Daytona 500 was today, and it may be. But if I were those NASCAR fans, which I'm not, but it's okay if you are, I don't have anything against it, I'd be real worried because when that comes to pass, as they say, they're going to be back to racing bumper cars or something like that. Kind of worrisome, is it not? Along the same lines here, we treat God. We think we can just live anyway and do anyway, and God's still going to take care of everything. We want to examine these 18 verses. You know, I do like some things about NASCAR and about the race world. It teaches a lot. Because a lot of people, they have wrecks and they almost destroy that car. But you know what? The next race, they'll be back in there going full strong again. They may blow a motor. I guarantee you they'll have a new motor the next time. They may burst tires, and I'm amazed at how quickly they recover. That should be a lesson for us. You get your feelings hurt, or you don't think God treated you right, and you just quit. Race fans don't see that. So there's a lot to admire about that, is there not? But I want to deal with these 18 verses this morning. We won't deal with all of them, but there are conditions and prerequisite because we're going to see this morning what we need to do to ensure the fact. Now, God already said, I'll take your needs according to my riches and glory. Conditions. Read the conditions. You have to read the first 18 verses. First of all, we see there has to be a commitment to God. He's writing to save people. He's not writing to the religious crowd. He isn't writing to the world's crowd. He's writing to people that are saved and redeemed. Commitment number one. We're talking about conditions and prerequisites that's required if you want God to fully meet your needs, if you are able to trust him, because he is to be trusted. First of all, there has to be a commitment to God. Look at the first verse. Therefore, my beloved, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. This verse, remember, is verse 19, and the prerequisite is there has to be a commitment to the Lord. Stand fast. Don't be wavering with the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. James says, let not that man ask anything of God. And God has promised us, I'll take care of your need. But then James says, and he doesn't contradict the verse at all. He says that if you're that waving person, that you're like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, and you're here today and there tomorrow, and you live haphazardly, and if I have time, I'll serve God. The verse says, number one, stand fast. Look what he says, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So there has to be a commitment to the Lord. The second thing we have to celebrate living for Jesus. It is not a hard thing to live for Jesus. I've heard people stand and testify in my day, it's so hard to be a Christian. Cold chills comes all over me. If you're saved, it's hard not to live for Christ. Because if we are saved, it's a joy to live for the Lord. So in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Celebrate living for Christ. Rejoice. Don't hang your head down. If anybody had reason to hang their head down, it would have been Paul. Remember, he was beaten. He was put in there with stripes in the jail. But they were singing at midnight, praising God, and it pleased God. He started meeting his needs. Jail doors opened up, and there was a mighty shaking, and the shackles were gone. You want your shackles gone off of the things that so easily bind you? Try celebrating the victory of Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. You say, well, I rejoice when things are going good. Look what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. When things are going bad. You say, can you actually rejoice in the Lord when you're laying there sick and when you've lost your finance? You can. You wouldn't have told us we could if we couldn't. So every day in your life, my grandfather taught me, you say, you said that so many times. Yeah, but it's a good saying. Let's be thankful that things were just as well with us as they are. It coincides to the verse, does it not? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Commitment to the Lord and celebrate in the Lord's ability to live for him. But thirdly, we have to convey some self-control. People are watching us. The Lord's watching us. And we're even aware of what we're doing. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation means a fair, gentle, equitable, mild spirit. So let your moderation, let your self-control be seen by the world. Put it in action. Your moderation, it means self-control. The world is looking at you, and you don't go off half-cocked when somebody don't treat you right. If you did, you'd be half-cocked and whole-cocked all the time because people won't treat you right. But he says we have to be committed to him, we have to be willing to celebrate living for Christ, and we have to convey to the world self-control. No matter what happens, Paul's in jail, doesn't relinquish the fact that he can give glory to the Lord? No. In the midnight hour, he's giving glory to God. When things happen and you get roughed up and you do what you think you ought to be doing for God, and all of a sudden he's not giving you what you think he ought to give you, self-control. Convey self-control. We're talking about prerequisite for that verse of scripture that my God will supply all your needs. And he will if we meet the conditions. Committed to him, And then we rejoice in the Lord and we celebrate living for him and we convey self-control. He didn't put these verses in there just to go over them haphazardly. These are there as a condition before you get to verse 19. The fourth thing, we continue with prayer and thanksgiving. We pray to God and we ask him to take care of. Remember Jesus told the disciples, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. In this manner pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In this manner pray you, God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We give him honor and glory. And you say, I do that only if you commit your ways to him, only if you celebrate living for Christ, only if you convey self-control and show the world and show God that no matter what happens, you're still going to love him and praise him. And only if you continue in prayer and thanksgiving. Look at the verse of scripture that goes with this. Continue in prayer with continue with prayers and thanksgiving and let your requests be made known to the Lord. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's a way to pray, not just God give me this and God give me that and I'll do nothing. And if I'm willing to do or if I'm not willing to do, you're going to take care of my needs? That's not what he's saying. That we pray to God with thanksgiving, that things are as well with us as they are. Look at the verse again. Be careful for nothing. Everything God allows and permits, I'm to give him thanks for. Thanks for getting sick. Thanks for whatever. I'm just reading the book. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. In the things that please you? No. In everything. In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanking God that things are as well with us as they are. It could be worse. And if we want things to get better, we thank him that things are as well with us as we are, and we give him praise and honor that things are just like they are. In other words, contentment in Christ Jesus. Contentment. So we continue with prayer and let those requests be made known to God with thankfulness. Not with, you haven't treated me right. Not with an attitude that's against the things of God, but with an attitude of gratitude. Let your prayers be made known. Just continue doing that. And then the next one is contentment. This is big. Every one of them is. Commitment to Christ, celebrating. But look at the contentment we must have. Look at the verse 11. We have to be contented in his provisions and his reign. Paul was content. He didn't say, God, get me out of jail and I'll serve you. He was praising God while he was in jail. And then God let him out. Look at verse 11. See, God allows these things to happen to us sometimes to see what's in our heart. He wants to provide for you and for me, but there's conditions that have to be met. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You can look at Paul's life and say, how could he be content in shipwreck? Paul, how in the world could you be content when you were stoned, you were left for dead, you were run out of town, you were rejected? I'm content in him, arguing about nothing because he is my God. I'm committed to serve him. I'm going to give him honor, praise, and glory. I'm going to celebrate my life with him. And therefore, he could write that verse of scripture, for my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why? because he was committed to God. He was celebrating living for Christ. He was conveying self-control no matter what. He was continuing in prayers, not only for his needs, but for the needs of the church. And even looking ahead and praying for the people that would come after him. And he was content in every assignment that God gave him. These are the commitments, and these are the things that God expects you and I to be. And if we are, we're going to look how we can have confidence in everything that he is telling us. First of all, we have to confirm to him and be willing to confirm to ourselves that we put our trust in God. How do you know that? Verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." We have to be willing to confirm to God that I accept your peace in the midst of the storm. The disciples were out in the midst of a storm, and the more they rode, the more they got pushed back. But Jesus appeared, walking on the water. And then another time, remember in a storm, he just was in the back of the boat, and he said, "Peace, be still." He's the author of peace. And he wants to give you peace in me. But we have to confirm in our heart that we trust God to do that. And he says again, "And the peace of God," after we have met the conditions and after we have had those prerequisites, then he says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." And if that settled peace comes into your heart, your mind will be right, because your heart, your soul, synonymous with your mind, your intellect, your will, if you will, that's what God expects us to do, that we're content in him, and we confirm that he will take care of every need that we have, because he gives us that peace. That peace comes after, remember, after we have done these other things. And then Isaiah backs that up. Isaiah 26, verse 3. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, it's so wonderful you can't describe it. He says it's beyond that. It surpasses all our ability to stand. But there's no substitute for it. There's no way to get it unless God sends it. And he said, when that peace comes, Isaiah, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Who? Those that have their minds stayed on him. Those that meet the conditions and have the prerequisite that God expects us to be, and then that peace stays with us. How can you keep your mind on Jesus when the storms are coming? That's when you need to keep your mind on Jesus. And perhaps if we kept our mind on him more, maybe the storms wouldn't be so intense and so strong in their lives. The storms come many times to teach us that God's in control, and we have to commit to him. And we have to be willing to convey to the world that we have self-control. We don't go off wondering, and we don't quit. And we're like those race car drivers, if you will, even though I don't watch them and couldn't tell you a person that runs or any car, don't know a thing about it, but I do know this, they're committed. And no matter what happens, they'll be back. And God help us to learn that simple fact, that no matter what happens, Paul is teaching us this morning. And if we want that deep, settled peace in our life. So we have to confirm in our heart that we're trusting in God. And then, look at verse 13. We don't go on our own strength. We have Christ's strength in you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And this trust and this confidence that he gives us, Paul says, I can do all things. And he's learned that it's not me. And remember, he had those thorns in the flesh, whatever they were, we don't know. It don't really matter. If he'd have wanted us to know, he would have surely told us. But because we have something that disables us or causes us, we're not like others, we don't have the ability to do what someone else does, and we're weak. And so, well, I can't preach, I can't either, and I can't sing, and I can't do this, but Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me. He learned that it's not me at all. It's not his ability. He was a much learned individual, spoke several languages fluently, and he knew the Word of God probably better than anyone in that day knew the Word of God. But yet he says, it's not me, it's Christ through me. Christ's strength will get me through the storms. It will be the enabling force to let me submit to him, to give him honor and praise, and to rejoice in him and confirm in my life that he's in control. It's not me. Why? Because I'm committed. And I'm going to stay that way because the peace of God is in me, keeping me. It'll keep you. It will keep me. And then look at the last thing in this confidence of God's communion and closeness with God. How precious is that? Back to our text verse. Do you want that closeness and that communion with God? Then you can have it. Look what he says. But my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know the greatest need you have in your life and the greatest need I have in my life? To get close to God. If you and I were to learn how to get close to God and in deep communion with him, that would solve every problem you got. I didn't say it solved your sickness or your put money in the bank account. It'd be more than that. My favorite song, as most of you know, is "It Is Well." It is well with my soul. Not well on Wall Street, not well in Washington, not well with my health, or probably not well with yours. Doesn't matter. The scripture in this text that we're reading today, my God will supply all your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The need I have is a close walk with the Lord, that I can learn to commit to him. I can learn to control and have self-control. I can learn all these things that I need. No, then I can say, my God will meet every need, every need. Look at the verse, according to his riches. If someone that's rich were to give you a $100 bill and you say, boy, they're a billionaire. That $100 is not according to their wealth. If they were a billionaire, they could give you $1 million and still be okay. They're giving you something that you need. But the verse says, according to his riches and glory. He's letting us know that he is rich and increased with good, and there's no shortage. The more God gives you, he doesn't lose a thing. You know, everything we look at, you know, if you have $1,000 in the bank, you start looking, there's $500 here and $400 here. I just got $100 left. Not like that with God's riches. God is increased. He is short of nothing. I want to look at four things that God lets us know about his riches. Romans 2:4. We can have the riches of his goodness. Can you imagine that? God is rich and he wants to give to you. He wants to give to me. He wants to give in this particular verse the richness of his goodness. God's good. And if you have a walk and a communion with him, you can partake of that goodness. And then in Romans 11:33, look at the depths of the riches, both of his wisdom and knowledge. God wants to give us of his riches. Now, he's rich in wisdom. And James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, without wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man ask anything of God. He's talking about a committed life. He's talking about one that can celebrate the goodness and the badness because we know he's in control. Not only the riches of his goodness and the riches of his wisdom and the riches of his knowledge, but thirdly, in whom we have redemption through his blood, in Ephesians 1:7, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Thank God for grace. We sin, we come short, we falter, we fail. And God is rich in grace. And the scripture says, to whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins elected according to the riches of his grace. Because God is rich in grace, and the more he gives, he has not diminished one little bit. He can give you grace that surpasses what anybody else has got, and he's still able to give you more. The riches of his goodness, the riches of his wisdom, the riches of his knowledge, and the riches of his grace. That's not all. He mentions one other in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That he would grant you. Now we're talking about a God that will take care of all your needs. And those needs are these riches. Not only riches in glory, riches in wisdom, riches in knowledge, and the rich of his grace. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 3:16. That God wants to give his glory. Let his glory shine on your life. Not you, that you can consume it upon your own lust. But when God enables us and gives us those needs, we give him honor and praise. It's not me. It's not you. It's his riches. Rich of his goodness, riches of his wisdom, riches of his understanding, the riches of his grace, and the riches of his glory. We are partakers of this when we believe that and accept verse 19, for my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank God if we meet those conditions and those prerequisites, and you can. Is anything too hard for God? Say, no, well, it's hard for you. No, if he says you can do it. Because Paul says, I can't do it, but I can do all things through Christ. If he wants you to do something and you accept that by faith, and he tells you something to do, he just told us what to do. You can't argue about it. It's already pinned down in the precious word of God. Just have to accept it. That is, if we're content and we want God to meet our needs. And see, the needs that you think you have and I think I have may be not the real need that we have. That's the part that confuses us a lot of times. Just like a lot of people quote this verse and say, well, I can live any way I want to and do what I want to and mind God or not mind God and he'll meet my needs. Uh-uh. There's conditions. So simple. I love simplicity. And God makes it so simple. Can't argue with it. You just accept it if you're interested in God taking care of the need. And the need according to his riches, we just read about that. Would you stand, your head bound? Brother Randy got a song to sing. Come to PN, Oregon. We trust the Lord this morning. The message is for every one of us this morning, maybe some more than others. But this lax attitude people's got in America that I can live anyway and God will bless me. And now it's even in politics that you can work or not work and somebody will take care of you. Bible says he that's able to work and won't work shouldn't eat. God's got entirely different instructions than a lot of people want to accept. But we'll be going by his because he's God. We just have to accept and commit to his lordship. Brother Randy, altar's open. If you're not saved this morning, you've got needs and you'll have more. Children's got needs. He said the need, if you have a need for your child, whatever your need is, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, he's able to do it. Only question would you be willing to commit? Would you be willing to yield? Would you be willing to be saved? Now, everybody says, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. It's those that's redeemed, those that are truly saved. If you're not saved this morning, it'd be a good time to get saved. Whatever your need this morning, come to the altar and seek God's face. Brother Randy.
I freely give.
that song, Brother Randy, I Surrender All. That was the first step, remember? Surrender of commitment. Never get to step two or three. You know, I love baseball. And you can't go to second base unless you touch first. You can't get home until you go first, second, third. Simplistic. God's got a way and a means. And the first thing to get you to where you need to be, enjoy His riches, His glory, grace, goodness, mercy, is surrender. Commitment to that surrender. Thank God. All my heart's clear. Brother Chris, come up here and lead us in prayer, please. Thank you for coming this morning. If you're a visitor, we're so delighted you're here. And the new membership committee is going to stand right up front after the prayer. And if you'd like to unite with our church by letter, by statement, by baptism, come talk to them about it. A lot of people want to join their church through the years, and that's good. They want to, and they do. They want to know more about church, and we want to know more about you. Make sure you're saved. A lot of people is going to join church through the years that wasn't saved. The first thing God to do is be saved. And God will save you. So whatever your need, the Lord will provide. Brother Chris.
God, we thank you for this message. Lord, it was a great message. But you'll take care of us, God, if we just get out of your way and stay obedient and give up our self-interest, Lord, and focus on you, God. We just pray for those that are lost, God, that you burden their hearts, Lord. Pray for those that are hurting or have lost loved ones, God, that you'll comfort them, Lord. We pray for our nation, for guidance, Lord, that you'll keep your hand on this nation, God, and bring revival to it. We just ask that you would bring us back into your house, Lord, and we just thank you for everything you do, God, that we don't deserve. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.